All right, let's read our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to focus on verses 10 and 11. But I want to draw to your attention verse 5 first. Peter reminds us in verse 5 that each and every one of us will give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick, that's the living, and the dead. Now think about that for a moment. There's a coming a day which I have to answer to God for my life. For my life. I don't get it by because I'm a Christian. I'm going to stand before God and account for the way I was a father and a husband and a pastor of this church. And you too. All of us. Now let's look at verse 10. Based on that, he says, every male and female, every human, every man has received the gift, the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another. Serve, minister, serve. Serve the same one to another. As what? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, now referring back to these speaking gifts, the gift in verse 10, let him or her speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him or her do it as of the ability which God gives. Why? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Help us this morning that we learn from your word. May this be an incredibly profitable time to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So from these two verses, verses 10 and 11, there's our outline. This is what we want to look at. We want to look at spiritual gifts, speaking gifts, and serving gifts. We want to look at this stewardship that we've been responsible, and we want to conclude with a focus on the glory of God. Now, anytime we talk about spiritual gifts, and that's what I want you to write on the margin of your Bible in verses 10 and 11. Take your pen, and I'd like you just to jot down the word spiritual gifts. That's what we're talking about this morning. I'll show you where and why we call that spiritual gifts. When we're talking about spiritual gifts, these are the key passages of Scripture we've got to look at to give a good survey. Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 11, and now this passage right here, 1 Peter 4, 10, and 11. All right, what are we talking about here? What is the bottom line to our message? Every man or woman has received the gift. Now, in the Textus Receptus, that's our Greek text for our King James Bible, there's no the, it's no definite article. It's a gift. The Greek word is the charisma. An invisible gift. An invisible gift. If this morning you would say, Pastor Sean, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know it. I've been converted by the power of the gospel. My faith is in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. If that's your testimony this morning, when you were saved, when you were converted, when you were regenerated, when you were born again, when you were made alive, when you were radically changed by the power of the gospel, at that very given moment, Tony, God, the Holy Spirit, gave you at least one spiritual gift. At a bare minimum. A spiritual gift. You received a gift. You can't find it in your big pinky. You can't find it in your heart. It's invisible, but it's a gift. It's a spiritual gift because it's a charisma, a gift. That's the Greek word. And it's spiritual because it came from the Holy Spirit. Thus, we call it a spiritual gift. Now, in charismatic churches, you're familiar with that term, right? A charismatic church. There's a giant emphasis on these gifts. A big emphasis. So, do you speak in tongues? Do you prophesy? Do you have one of these gifts? What is your gift? Sometimes, because of all that emphasis, Baptists have shied away from this. Right. We shouldn't have, though. Right. We shouldn't have. Because these gifts are given for the body of Christ. So this morning, we're going to talk about the sign gifts and then the service gifts. The gifts that God gave the apostles during that New Testament time to authenticate who they were. And then we're going to talk about what gifts are still relevant today. What gifts should we see in the church today? What should we be experiencing here? The sign gifts, we believe, have passed. But not all of them are sign gifts. I'll show you. So my contention is, since we're born again Baptists and we have acknowledged the fact that everyone that's born again has been given a gift, we ought to figure out two things. Let's go over the two things. Question number one, what is my spiritual gift? Everybody should know that. What is my spiritual gift? That's question number one. Question number two, how am I using it? Question number one, what is my spiritual gift? Question number two, how am I using it? How am I using it? What gift are we talking about? Here's Strong's definition. It's a grace or gift denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain in Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ, the reception of which is due in power of the divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. So if I can use my two hands as I'm accustomed to doing, and I'm going to take my right hand and raise it up, and I'm going to create an invisible circle, and that's God's grace. And from God's grace, these gifts come. And then I'm going to use my left hand to represent you and me, each of us as individuals. From God's manifold grace up here, the Holy Spirit is a conduit bringing gifts to the body of Christ. Here's John. Here's David. And just delivering gifts. Soul got saved. Gifts. Another. Gifts. Spiritual gifts. Given to each one of us. From where? God's grace. To who? Each of us. How? As the Lord sees fit. As the Lord sees fit. He is the administrator of this. So based on this idea, he says, even so, minister the same one to another. So what would the ideal scenario be in a church? What would the ideal scenario? Good, Judge Stokes, thanks for worshiping with us this morning. You're on that side last time, so it threw me off a little bit. I like people just to sit the same places all the time. And then I just look for them and they're there. It's good. So what are we talking about here? Imagine a church. Let's create a church. An amazing church. An extraordinary church. In which every person knows their spiritual gift and is actively using that gift in the body of Christ. Now remember, these are grace gifts. Grace gifts. That means that we receive grace, God's goodness, God's favor, God's blessing. We experience that through each one of us dispensing these gifts. Teachers using their gifts and serving using their gifts and giving and acts of mercy and leadership. What you'd have in this amazing church would be grace throwing through the airs an unbelievable way. Everywhere you turn around, grace would be in dispense and more grace. And here we are. Now, let me ask you this morning, have you ever been in a dead church? Yes. Ever been in a dead church? You know, that's that church where people come in, they sit down, they go through their perfunctory things necessary to check the religious block, they go back out the doors, 7 days later they come back in, they sit down. Nobody wants to be in a church like that. I mean, it's boring. You know what's absent? Grace. You know why? Because people aren't using their gifts. They're not using their gifts. They're not actively ministering one to another with the gifts that they've been received. They don't know what their gifts are, and they're not concerned about using their gifts. What are we trying to do this morning? We're trying to create that extraordinary, supernatural, wild kind of a church where every single member of the congregation knows what their spiritual gift and is actively seeking to use that gift to minister grace one to another. What a thought. Everyone serving each other as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:11, all of us, King James says, but all these that we're referring to the spiritual gifts work at that one and the same self-spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. The ESV renders it, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So God, the Holy Spirit, gave to you, my sister Meredith, a spiritual gift, at least one, maybe more, at your moment of conversion, and to you as well, TG, and to each one as God sees fit. Sovereignly says, give them this one, give them that one, give them this one right here. That's the one they need to do. Now, let me just pick on the Kaisers. This is Doug and Judy Kaiser. I always use them. They're embarrassed. They don't want me to do that. But God has given to them a spiritual gift. They were in New Jersey. Is that how you say it? Or Jersey? Or
Jersey.
Okay, see, I can't do that, right? And they relocated to here. They stepped into the body of Christ, and immediately we said, where can we start serving? Amen. They didn't say, we need to be here a year. We haven't figured it out. Each of them knew what their spiritual gifts were already. And they already knew that. So now it says, how can I come here to this new congregation in this new city and start using the spiritual gift that God has already given me? We've already validated at that congregation. Now we just need to figure out, how can we come here and start using it? See, every Christian needs to know what their spiritual gift is, and then they need to figure out, how can I use it in this congregation? Because I'm going to be a good steward of what I have. Now, steward's not a word we use very often, so let's look at Webster's definition. It's one who is responsible for the careful management of something. Careful management. When you're a steward of something, you realize it's not mine. It's been given to me temporarily, and it's my job to take care of it, to use it well. I can't just sit on it. In the 8:30 service, Jonathan wasn't in there, and so it was great. We just talked about him nearly the entire sermon. It was unbelievable. Did he leave? There he is in the back, okay? So everyone turn and look at Jonathan back there. Yeah, that's Jonathan, okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Fully realizing that Jonathan has more musical abilities and talents and gifts from the Lord in his pinky than most of us have in our entire bodies.
Amen.
If you knew that that cat was skipping out on church and doing nothing with those abilities for the cause of Christ, what would your response be? Yell at me. Waste. What else? I didn't hear. Darren, what'd you say?
Shame.
Shame. What a shame. Another word. Selfish. Good. Another word. A hypocrite. Anyone else have anything they want to talk about John with about? Because we've identified he's a selfish, wasteful, shameful hypocrite so far. Okay? Sad. Yeah, very good. It'd be sad. Uncommitted.
Disobedient.
Yeah. Unbelievable. See, it's amazing when we can recognize that. And so we expect those kind of people to use them. What we all need to do is erect a mirror in front of ourselves and realize it's not just Jonathan that's been given a spiritual gift. Each and every one of us has been given a spiritual gift. And we must seek to use that spiritual gift for the glory of God in dispensing grace to each other in the body of Christ. And that's the message we want to get into. That's what we want to unpack. Of the manifold grace of God. So by God's grace, a spiritual gift is given to me with the expectation that I will use it to serve others in the body of Christ. So in a particular local body of Christ, like the one at 517 Glenshore Drive, everyone experiences from God, what they experience from God will be in direct proportion to the number of believers who are actively using the grace gifts they receive from the Holy Spirit. So let's create a scenario for this morning in which only this side of the church uses their spiritual gifts. It's not good to be on this side today. Judge, you picked the wrong side on this one. All right. Everyone on this side uses their gifts. These folks are what we describe with Jonathan: selfish, disobedient, hypocritical, and all that. Half as much grace would be dispensed in the congregation, because each of you could be dispensing grace. More grace would be flowing. More love, more mercy, more compassion. More of God's favor would be experienced. But because each of you on this side are not using the spiritual gift that God's given you to dispense grace to the congregation, we are feeling less of God's presence, God's favor, God's blessing, God's convicting power, God's regenerating. You just pick whatever you want from God's grace, less of it, because this half is doing nothing. So then what would be the goal, Pastor? The goal would be to create a congregation in which every single person knew what their spiritual gift was and how they're supposed to be using it here. Everyone. Now, if you are a teenager this morning, please stand up. That was a little awkward there, Kathy. I'm going to make sure there isn't anyone disobeying. If there's a teenager not sitting down because they're in rebellion, would you point them out, please? Yeah, they're popping up now. Thank you. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Good, good. Let's get all the sinners standing up. All right. So we have a handful of teenagers. Look around, everyone. If you're born again, if you're born again, each one of you, if you're born again, God has already given you these spiritual gifts. Already. Now, here's the question I have for you. How many years is it going to take until you discover them and start using them in the body of Christ? Because they're already there.
That's right.
You may be seated. They're lying. They're dormant. And you know what your responsibility is? Figure out what it is and how I can start using it. Because, Bill, it's already there. It's not waiting to give it to him when you turn 19 and then you get it.
Right.
If you're born again, it's there. So the question becomes, how many years will you wait before you start using it? Would you turn to Matthew 25, please? And I'm afraid we're going to read a worn-out parable, and because it's a worn-out parable, it loses its effect. It's unfortunate that that happens. But sometimes when we've heard the Word of God so many times, we actually lose the effectiveness that it should have in arresting us out of our complacency. Seven churches are addressed in the book of Revelation, one in particular because of its apathy. The word is lukewarm. And the response is that he would vomit you out of my mouth. Why? Because of your apathy, because of your complacency, your willingness to come and sit and soak and sour. If the expectation is that you have something to give to the body of Christ, when will you start using it in the body of Christ? What will it take? Let's look at the parable, Matthew 25. Hear the words of our Lord and Savior as he shares a parable. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, and he calls his own servants. Three servants he brings before them, servants, and he delivers unto them his goods. Unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Every man according to his abilities, and immediately he leaves and takes his journey. He ascends to be with the Father on the right hand. He leaves. So what happens while he's gone? Verse 16. He that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 more. And he likewise that had received 2, he gained 2 more. But he that had received just 1 talent, just 1, he went and he buried it in the earth. And he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, and that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem. We perceive Meredith because it's a long time. I can start using my gift next year at the next church. We're going to PCS in 12 months. We can't do anything in this church. Let's wait till we get back home to Texas. And then in Texas, we'll join a church. And then we'll get busy for the kingdom of God. But right now, this is only temporary for us. It's a long time. Imagine just a moment. If I could tell you, just imagine that I had the gift of prophecy and I could say to you, November 15th, 2016, you will die and at that moment give an account for the life you live. You have at this moment 18 months, 22 days, 14 hours, 6 minutes. Use it for the glory of God. What type of adjustments would you begin to make with that kind of data? But this is what you know. It's a long time. It's a long time. It's a long time. We can wait till we get back home. We can wait. We can wait. No need. Don't worry about this now. We got a long time. We're at Fort Bragg only for 2 years. We ought to be visit a few churches, bounce around. We're not going to get too serious because we're only going to be here for 2 years. Yep. That's all. When we get somewhere permanent, then we'll start using our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. And to that, sweetheart, it's been a long time, but you know, it's. She told me never to do that. Yeah, it offends people. Maybe you need to be offended this morning. Maybe you need to be arrested out of your apathy and your complacency. Maybe it's time to start using what God's given you for the glory of God. So what happens? Well, the long time comes to an end. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents and saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. And I took that spiritual gift and those abilities and those skills and the resources that you gave me. And to the best of my ability, by your grace, under the spirit and anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, for the power of the gospel, I did my very best. And there's 5 more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. There's an entire eternity to come. And in that eternity to come, I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And also he that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 others. And to the same one, he gives that same amazing admonishment. The very words that each of us know we want to hear on that day of reckoning and accounting that Peter talked about in verse 5. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler in the kingdom to come. And then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawn. I was afraid. I was afraid. What are they going to say? What if I don't get it right? I was afraid. I went and hid that talent. I took that spiritual gift and I left it in dormancy. I never figured out which one I had. I never worked hard at figuring out how I can use it in the body of Christ. I was more content, Lord, with just coming and sitting once a week and then leaving and knowing that I checked the religious block. You didn't really expect me to get on fire for you. You didn't really expect me to take this gospel truth and use it for your glory, did you? I mean, I knew you were a hard man. I was afraid. And I did absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ for 72 years. Wow. So what's it get? Understand? It's okay. Don't worry about it. There's some therapy to be had. His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You oughtest therefore to have at least put my money to the exchangers." You're telling me I couldn't get a little interest off of it? You did nothing? Nothing? Where are you going to be? Where? Is this going in one ear and out the other? What will you do with what God has given you? What adjustments will you begin to make based on the realization that I have received at least one spiritual gift from God, and now I must use it somehow for the glory of God? Will you do anything? Will there be any adjustments you make in your life? What does it take to move you into doing something? Question number one, what are your gifts? Question number two, how are you using them? How many Christians do not serve others in the body of Christ? I will not do this, but I certainly thought about it. And because I am impulsive, I have to continually restrain. But I had a good mind of saying, if you serve in the nursery, stand up. Just so that we could see the number of people that just refuse to serve in the nursery. Every single week we have to beg, plead, borrow, steal, finagle. We don't really steal. It's just an expression. Because we just can't seem to get people willing to serve. Quite frankly, it's discouraging. It's the plight of the nation that we're in, though. It's part of the direction we're going as a country. What are you going to do? How are you going to serve? Peter says these gifts can be organized into two categories, speaking gifts and serving gifts. He says, if you're speaking on behalf of God, make sure you say only what God says. Paul presents these spiritual gifts with greater specificity in Romans 12. He says, in the King James, there's a gift of prophecy and ministry and teaching and exhorting and giving, ruling and showing mercy. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhorting, contributing, leading, acts of mercy. These gifts can be organized like this based on Romans and 1 Peter, comparing the two. Speaking gifts are prophecy, teaching, exhortation. Service gifts are serving and leading in particular acts of mercy and being a generous, contributing person. The church is kind of divided over this issue of prophecy. Let me show you two examples as we quickly move through this. The charismatic churches embrace guys like Kenneth Copeland and their ability to somehow today prophesy on behalf of God. I want to show you this prophecy of the year 2014. I'd like you to compare it to a biblical prophecy and let you discern the difference. Copeland says, "I have heard the prayers, saith the Lord. I've been hearing the cries of my people. They have not gone unnoticed. Lean not unto your own understanding, but trust in me. I'm doing something. You'll be glad. Right at this moment, you don't have a full concept of what has happened in the United States and in many places around the world, because this nation is going through a tough time. It's coming out reborn. It's coming out reborn. You think you know what's going on in your life, but you don't. The best is yet to come." I don't know. Let's keep reading. "These are your days, the Lord says. Take my word on it. Believe me. All of the forces of heaven are at work today, doing what needs to be done for the body of Christ in this earth. And this is the one of the high marked places in the earth for the gospel to flow, the United States of America." All right, that's today's example of prophecy. Let me show you a biblical example. Here's Acts 21. As we tarried there certain days, there came one from Judea, a certain prophet named Agabus. He's a prophet. He has the gift of prophecy. And when he's come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, his belt. He took it, took him away from him. He grabbed it and pulled it. And he wrapped his own hands like this. He said, the one who owns this belt is going to be bound in Jerusalem by the Jews. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they at that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. They begged him, don't go. Then Paul answered, look at this. I love this. He says, what mean you to weep and to break my heart? They're begging him not to go, and it's breaking his heart. And he says, for I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. Now think about the contrast between being willing to die for the cause of Christ and not using a single spiritual gift that you've been given. That's where we're at in the church. That's the extremes. Just do nothing. Just won't do nothing. Just more than content to do nothing for the cause of Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, they ceased. And this is what they said. May the will of the Lord be done. Teaching, this gift is self-explanatory. We need people in the church to teach. We are continually begging people to teach. On a regular and consistent basis, we're looking for teachers. And we do not understand how you can be intellectually gifted, raised in a Christian school, educated in a Christian college, and then come here for 2 years and do nothing with regard to teaching. Joey Kellett's right over there. Please stand up, Joey. Joey oversees all our children's ministry. See him if you want to teach. Exhortation. This is the spiritual gift where you challenge people to obey the will of the Lord. You speak hard truths into their lives. This is service. This is the gift that we make particular reference to with the Kaisers and many, 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 many others. Agnes Turlington is an amazingly godly lady who works 7 days a week keeping this ministry clean. So we don't pay her near anything what she's worth. We'll have to hire 3 people when she passes away. She does an unbelievable job of serving the body of Christ. Every one of our musicians from that corner all the way over are serving the body of Christ. Ushers, serving the body of Christ. Greeters, serving the body of Christ. Nursery workers, serving the body of Christ. Recognizing that I'm not here to sit and soak. These ministries are unbelievable. This mercy ship ministry is unreal. This is where doctors and dentists and nurses give up weeks and weeks of their lives and they go out on these ships and they just go to these ports and they minister to people all over the world who don't have health insurance and have amazing diseases and crises. This is Habitat Humanity. Maybe you can swing a hammer. Maybe you can do plumbing. This is where you just go and volunteer all day long and building a home. This is Meals on Wheels. This is where you're working with soup kitchens and feeding the homeless and using your gifts for the glory of God. This is the gift of leadership. These are the people that can make it happen. They can take a project and make it happen. They plan vacation Bible school. They oversee Awana. Those kind of ministries. This is acts of mercy. These are people that see somebody in a crisis situation and they just step in, provide for them what they need. This is the gift of giving. These are people who've been blessed financially and they really make it happen for the body of Christ. Let me give you a startling statistic. 20% of this church provides 80% of the giving. Let's do that one more time. This is half the church right here. All right, this is half the church. This right here would be 20%. Let me go over here so everyone sees. Right over here. Because I'm going to take 50 and divide it in half. That's 25%, okay? So I'll run an imaginary line like this. That would be 25%. But that's too much. That's 5% too much. So I'm going to back it down like this. And I'm going to come over here like this. And look at this number, folks. 20% of the church is giving 80% of the giving. Those are the people who have the spiritual gift of giving. And we wouldn't even operate if it wasn't for those kind of people. And the reason they are so generous is because God's given them a spiritual gift of giving. But what's the reason why you don't give? Well, I'm going to be here for 2 years. I firmly believe that many of you don't join a church because somehow that gives you off the hook that you don't think you have to give. I really believe that. I believe that you rationalize in your mind that since we're not members, we don't have to give. And yet you use all the services, enjoy the same air conditioning, same preaching, same nurseries, same cleared floors, and don't give a penny. You say, I cannot believe you're talking to people like that. Somebody needs to say the truth. Amen. It's so unfortunate. And it's only going to get worse. I don't know about Copeland's prophecy. Maybe he's right and it's all going to turn around. But what I see... What I see is most people don't have any expectation to give. They want to spend every penny they make on themselves. Every penny. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul highlights a unique gift, the gift of celibacy. He says these people have more time on their hands to serve the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12 are all the sign gifts that we made particular reference to. We're not going to put our focus on that. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, working miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. This chart shows you how the spiritual gifts break down either by scripture, and then this one shows you how they break down in sign gifts and serving gifts, and then the actual servant gifts of the people or the ministers in the church. The church is divided over whether signs are temporary or permanent. We're not going to address that this morning. That's not the focus. The focus is question number one, what is your spiritual gift? Question number two, how are you going to use it in the body of Christ? Baptists typically hold to the idea that gifts are gone, that they were temporary. Some say they're going to come back in the end times. I'm not going to argue with that. The point of the matter is, Peter said, if you're going to speak on behalf of the Lord, make sure you speak the oracles of God. So if you believe that you've been given a gift of prophecy, you better make sure it's what God says.
That's right.
If you believe you've been given words of wisdom and you're going to come up to somebody and say, I've got a word from the Lord for you, you better make sure you got a word from the Lord. We don't flippantly use that at all. I was in a charismatic church as a kid. Assemblies of God, charismatic churches. Very common thing, David, was somebody come up and say, I've got a word for you from the Lord. The implication of that very statement was that God told them something for that person. Folks, we need to be very, 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 very careful when we ever use that phrase.
That's right.
Because I will tell you, in 8 years, I've never used that expression. I've never said to you as a congregation, God told me X, Y, or Z. We've never used it for building. We've never used it for any direction we're going to take, because I want to ensure I only speak the oracles of God. And the best way to only speak the oracles of God is to stay in the book. In the book. In the book. In the book. Because once you come up to you, Adam, and say, God told me something, that is a serious thing. So only the oracles of God. So these gifts, be careful. They're only the oracles of God. So now let's wrap it up with serving gifts. What's he say? He says, if any man minister that serve, let him do it as the ability which God gives. What he's saying there is God's giving you an ability. You have an ability. You better make sure you're using it. Why? To what end? Let's look at the text and we'll be done. What's our focus? What are we trying to do? What's he say there to us? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man serve or minister, let him do it as of the ability which God has given him or her. Why? To what end? That God in all things may be glorified. All things. This is not about me showing off my singing abilities. This is not about me showing off my playing abilities. This is not about me demonstrating what a marvelous teacher I am. This has nothing to do with any individual displaying their abilities or their talents. It's all about glorifying God through Jesus Christ. It's about anytime you are in a congregation and you sense that the spiritual gifts are about you, you missed it. Not only missed it. Anytime you sense that the spiritual gifts are about you, I've got the gift of this. I've got the gift of this. You missed it. It's gone. It's totally the wrong focus. What gift do you have? This is the gift I have. It's all about me, me, me. Gone. Move away. Find a new church. What should the focus be? How can we glorify God through Christ Jesus with the gift that we've received? So what's the role of the pastor? What's the role of these guys that are in full-time ministry, that work diligently each and every day to open the Word of God and teach the body of Christ? What's the purpose? It's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You know what this is? This is an equipping session. We come in here to be equipped. This is like the soccer team huddling around to practice and learn how to get ready for the game out there. We're going to come in here. We're going to get some instruction. We're going to receive some skills. We're going to work hard. Why? So we can go out there and win. That's the idea. This is an equipping session. There are coaches here that are doing everything they can. All right, let's figure out your spiritual gift. Let's figure out how we can use it to the glory of God. What are we here for? To do the work of the ministry. Who? Each and every one of us. From our teenagers that stood up to our most senior saints in the room, every one of us are expected to do it so that God in all things may be glorified. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want at Brigham Baptist Church to see your name lifted high, to be exalted. For no other name under heaven, no other name is given among men whereby anyone can be saved. So we want your name exalted. And we recognize that the dispensing of spiritual gifts and the reception of those spiritual gifts on our behalf is not for our glory, but for your glory. So that the gospel can be proclaimed more boldly. So that disciples can be made. And maybe this morning, you've been in first class, and you know this is the church for you. You've prayed about it, and you know this is where we need to be. That we need to be part of this congregation. We don't need to put off the decision anymore. We need to present ourselves this morning. We need to take a step of obedience and move forward and unite publicly with this congregation. Maybe you need to see Joey Kellett afterwards. Say, Joey, I can teach the Word of God. I don't know why I haven't been already. God has gifted me with knowledge and wisdom and discernment and understanding. And it's a shame that I haven't been doing it already. I want to give you my name and phone number. I want to teach. Maybe when you go back to the nursery and you pick up your child, you need to say, Vonda, put me on the list. I can serve. What are you going to do with the sermon today? What are you going to do with the message from Peter today? What changes will you make in your life? Some of you are visitors here. You're a part of a congregation somewhere else. You're just here with us this morning. You would rock your preacher's world if you'd go back to your church back home and say, Preacher, I was over here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, heard a sermon on spiritual gifts and realized I haven't been serving the local church like I need to. How could I start serving in this church? You talk about encouraging his day. You would rock his world. Maybe you could do that. Maybe you're one of those teenagers that I asked to stand. And you need to figure out, how can I start serving in the local church? Because if I don't establish a pattern of serving in the church, I may never do it when I'm 20 or 25 or 30. So I better figure out how to start serving now. Whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, I pray you'd do it.